Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3 is where we will be. I'm enjoying this process of going through James once again. It's not the first time I've done that here, but I enjoy it immensely. Always find something new. I found something new in God's Word this week in the book of Mark chapter 10 that I've never seen before. And just opened up my eyes to some things there. Like, wow, I've never seen this picture before. But I tell you, James, for some reason my Bible's missing James. There it is. It's right there. It's on page number 1308. We'll remember that next time. Let's read the first 8 verses here, and then we'll get down into the lesson this morning. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and let me get my reading glasses on. I'm a mess this morning. All right. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison." Again, let's pray. I need some help this morning, and I need my thoughts to be gathered. Lord, again, we're grateful that we can be here. It is a great thrill that we can serve you and worship you. And so, God, I pray this morning as we go through your word, Lord, help us to really begin to apply things to our lives so that we can learn how to be better servants for you. Again, I thank you for this opportunity that you've allowed me to teach this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you just watch over us, be with us in the next hour to come. Give our pastor strength, give him wisdom again as he gives us this message this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. I titled this message this morning, right out of God's Word, and I really kind of find it fitting for this, but it's called The Beast. The Beast. I consider the tongue a beast because of what it can do. Today we're going to talk about the smallest member of the body that offends so many. And very quickly as well. And that member is the tongue. We all have a problem with controlling our tongue. And the other name that I've given the tongue, as I just mentioned, is the beast. About a year ago, I got a phone call from one of my best friends. And you guys know Logan. We keep in touch quite a bit. I talk to him probably sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. And we just stay in touch with one another. And it's good for me because I'm able to learn from him, and he's able to what not to do for me. And so we have a great relationship. And he called me out of the blue one time. He says, "Chad, you got a minute?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "Okay, what do you want first? Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?" And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what did I do? Because he's never opened up a phone conversation like that with me before. And I can tell by the seriousness of his voice that he was meaning business with me. And so I begin to say, okay, what did I do? What do you want to give me? He went off into some other things. I can't remember what the good news was because I was more focused on the bad news. Well, he gave me the bad news after that. And he was talking to me. He says, "Chad, you know, I follow you on Facebook." I said, "Yeah, I know that." He goes, "Well, you got some comments on there that are quite concerning to me." And I admit that there's some times where my mouth gets ahead of my brain and I will put down some things that shouldn't be there, no different than anybody else. And we all give in to those things, and sometimes my opinion's just out there. And so I said something, I can't remember what I said. And he says, Chad, he goes, the reason why I'm telling you this is because our words that come out of our mouth are to turn us to Christ, not to turn people away. I said, well, I wasn't necessarily thinking that my words are doing it. But he's saying, Chad, you have a testimony. Your testimony should show forth that your tongue should be controlled by you. And that's what he's kind of saying, not necessarily those words. And I begin to think about that so much because I begin to think about, wow, my words really do have an effect upon people. And my words can be damaging to folks. My words can be encouraging to people. My words can be edifying to people. It can be praiseworthy. But we don't really remember those good things when somebody speaks the majority of the time. We really focus on the negative things. And so I appreciate that phone call because what he was trying to do is say, hey, Chad, you have a member in your body that is very small, and we act upon those things, and we need to control that member. And it's so true. Our tongue is a damaging thing in people's lives. And we need to be careful on how we allow things to come out of our mouths. Have anybody ever heard a statement as you're growing up, think before you speak? I heard that a lot when I was growing up, and I still hear that on occasions. Think before you speak. And it's so true because we need to be careful on how we allow our words to come out of our mouths because we don't know how they are going to offend somebody. Because even in our world today, we're living in a different society. Anything seems like it offends somebody. You know, somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you, and they'll say, how dare you? You know, I just wanted God to bless you. You know, that I'm being serious. That's how people are. They're offensive by the things that come out of our mouths. So hopefully this lesson here this morning can be a help to us to learn how to control the tongue. Learn how to tame it. We can control the body from certain things, but the tongue is one that we have a hard time to even control. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 15. Again, we're going to do we're going to do a fair amount of reading from Scripture that will help us in areas where we might be lacking when it comes to controlling our tongue. But the tongue's a hard thing to control. Normally what happens, here are some situations that arise in our lives, and that is somebody might come up and offend us, and they might say something harsh to us, and our natural reaction will be very, what's the word I'm wanting to use? Damaging towards them. Very hurtful. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, when those situations arise in our lives, and we probably had them this week, we probably maybe even faced it this morning with our spouse. I don't know. I don't know how people are in the morning. But when those situations arise, here's what the book of Proverbs tells us on what we're supposed to do. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, that is so true. As you begin to get into a hostile situation, when you begin to use soft words, it's going to turn away the wrath. As I was talking with the chaplain here last week in our police department, the biggest thing that they try to work on in those type of situations is to de-escalate the problem that is at hand. And they deal with a lot of situations that you and I are not even aware of. And there is a lot of verbiage that goes around that makes you want to clean your ears out as soon as you hear those things. And so their job is not to come in and to escalate it even more by what might come out of their mouth, but their job is, and they're trained for this, is to come in a calm-like matter. To be able to use soft words to calm the situation down, to de-escalate it, so that they begin to make sense of what is taking place, and so that no further damage or no further things will get out of hand. So the Bible is very true when it comes to this. A soft answer turneth away wrath. So in other words, when somebody gets mad at you, it's not your job to go after them and begin to attack them. Your job is to have that soft answer. And only you know how to do something that with your life. So as we begin to go on, it says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Again, you're trying to de-escalate the situation. You're not trying to make it worse. Because you know if you go in grievous words, harsh words, condemning words, it's just going to stir up the anger even more. So you got to come into those situations trying to de-escalate those things. And it's hard to do, but with God's help, we can do those things. And I hope that we can seek God in those areas in our life as those situations arise. So here we see the power of the tongue demonstrated in two ways. And if you missed it, I'm going to give it to you. One, it could be used to turn away wrath. Two, it can stir up anger inside people. And this is why I titled this The Beast. The tongue can be known as the beast. So when it becomes the beast, it will then become our master, meaning it will begin to control us. It will begin to control the situation that is at hand. It will begin to control many things. We should only have one master. It should not be our tongue, but that one master that we should have in our life, and that is Christ himself. Even that being said, our tongue at times, think about this, not only does our tongue offend each other and how we treat and talk to one another, how we hurt each other's feelings, condemn one another, but at the same time, our tongue offends our master. Because our tongue is not always glorifying to him. And so, with that being said, we should come to God in a different matter. We need to control our tongue when it comes to him as well. Our job is not to, get mad at him when our finances might not be there. And we might say, God, how could you allow this to do this to me? Our response to God when it comes to health matters is, God, I can't believe you've done this to me. I've been a faithful servant for you for all these years. But keep in mind, you go through those things because God wants to grow you. God wants you to grow during those times. And so often I've heard of this and I've seen it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears. People get mad at God because of those things, and they begin to condemn God, and they begin to curse God. Look at the wife of Job. What does she say? Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job, being a great example, no, I'm not going to curse God and die. I have respect for God. I want to glorify God. He's my Savior. He's my master. And I want to please him in my mouth and in my words. But the beast, the tongue, it's hard to control. So not only we try to control it for each other, but we need to try to control it when it comes to our master. I've seen many relationships being ruined because of the beast. Because the beast, it becomes alive within the person. And sure, I understand we've all had a part in this in some form of another. Our own words have ruined friendships. Our own words have ruined marriages. Our own words have ruined many things because we're not trying or we're not even allowing ourselves to control the beast that is inside our mouth. And this is why I said this a few weeks ago. And it's important for us to rehearse this once again. If you don't have anything good to say, Class A with me, don't say anything. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Why? Because the tongue, it's hurtful. And we fly off the mouth with things. Especially, think about this. When a husband and wife, when they get into an argument, man, we say the harshest things to each other. And we go after each other during those times. And then we both become great historians. And we begin to bring up the past and all those things. I'm so glad I serve a God who doesn't bring up my past. Amen. I truly do. But even in marriages, we say the harshest things. Siblings, they come after each other, and they'll do things of that nature. So if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. I gave this example a few weeks ago, I was told. And this came to me. I was being complainative about somebody, and it would not stop coming out of my mouth. And I just kept saying this, that, and the other thing. And I finally got a look, and that look was responded with some comments out of their mouth. And they said, all right, I've heard enough of negativity. Now I want you to say some good things about this individual. Boy, that put me in my place. That really caused me to think, Chad, first of all, you're not portraying Christ, because Christ isn't going to go around and talk negative about each other. Second of all, it helped me to realize that, yeah, I complain, and I need to say some positive things about this individual. And I was thankful for that, because that caused me to wake up just a little bit. And so if we don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. A quick tongue is one that doesn't care of the individuals that are in conversation. Turn back to your Bibles, the book of James. Book of James, chapter number 1. And we need to see what this says here, because we went over this a few weeks ago. But in verse number 19, it gives us three things that we need to take in consideration. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Then the second thing that it starts off with is slow to speak. Slow to speak. We are to be slow to speak, meaning we should consider every single word that comes forth from our mouth. We need to consider that, because our words are damaging to someone else. Our words can cause someone else to become damaged goods. Our words can cause somebody that, if it's done in a negative way, can cause a church member to walk out of here, or it can cause a visitor to walk out of here and never step foot in these doors again. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. So often we're quick with the mouth. We're quick with the tongue. Not taking into consideration of who we're actually talking to. Not giving it a thought. But we just allow things to fly off. Fly off the mouth. The Word of God says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Consider those words. Consider those words. We need to think before we speak. Why? Because our words are offensive. So with that being said, we should allow God to speak through us. So let me give you a little bit of help. If you struggle with how you talk to people, and I think we all do, here's what we need to consider. We need to wake up every single morning, and we need to do this. And we say, bow our heads. And say, God, I struggle with my tongue. God, you know I struggle with some things that come out of my mouth. And let's be honest, God, this happens because I'm allowing it to happen and I'm not seeking your guidance. So God, please help me, and I want you to speak through me so that I'm not being offensive to somebody, so I'm not going to have to do damage control. But God, I want you to speak through me. And I would encourage you to make that a part of your prayer on a daily basis, because that will help you as you go forth in life. So allow God to speak through us. As you see in James chapter 3, in verse number 3, it says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth." And the reason why a bit is put into the mouth of a horse is because you do it for this thing. You want to control the horse. If you're wanting to ride a horse, you're going to put a bit in the mouth. You're going to get on there, and you're going to tell the horse which way to go. Without that, if you get on a horse, you have no bits, you're not going to be able to control the horse, and the horse is going to go wherever he pleases to go, because that's his design. So we put that thing in that mouth, and it's nothing big. The horse is massive, they're huge, and we put that little thing in the mouth of a horse, and you're able to control it, you're able to get on it, you're able to pull it to the right, it's going to go the direction you want to go, left, he'll go. And when you think about that, that's what we need to do with us. Put a bit in our mouth to control those harsh words that come out of us. And so we need to consider those things. Our tongue, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 35. Psalms chapter 35, and we're going to be in Psalms for a little bit, and we're going to Proverbs as well. But in Psalms 35, verse number 28, let's read this verse. It says, "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Our tongue should be speaking of God's righteousness. In other words, here's what we do. We begin to speak of our righteousness, or our good works, or our good deeds. Why? So that we can have the praise of men. But in Psalms chapter 35, verse number 28, gives us a different narrative of what we're supposed to do. And that is, when our thoughts are upon God, here's what's going to take place. We're going to speak of God's righteousness. And because we're going to dwell upon his righteousness and his goodness, here's what's going to follow. We're going to praise him all the day long. You see what happens when our tongue's in the right place? It's going to give us different directions to go. It's going to give us a different mindset on how we're to talk and how we deliver our speech and things of that nature. And so we're going to focus on and speak about God's righteousness. And then we're going to praise him all the day long. Think about that. Have we ever really praised God all the day long? We got 24 hours in a day. We probably spend 23 hours, if not more, not thinking about God. Or not glorifying God, or maybe not even praising God. But here, Proverbs says, let's praise him all the day long. The tongue has so much power behind it, which is why we need to keep our tongue from evil. Back in Psalms chapter 34, it's in should be on the same page if your Bible's like mine. But in verse number 13 and verse number 14 is where we will read here. It says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So we are to keep our tongue from evil. Well, how are we going to keep our tongue from evil? Well, I got a few ideas. One, surround yourself with the right things. Surround yourself with the right things. I have learned that when I put myself into the wrong environment, you know what's going to come forth out of this tongue? The wrong things. So how do you keep your tongue from evil? Surround yourself with the right things. Surround yourself by godly people. Surround yourself by a good church. And surround yourself in the Word of God. That will help you to keep your tongue from evil. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. As we're on the same subject with this, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 10, it says, which in times past we are not a people, but, I'm in chapter 2. Verse number 10 of chapter 3, that's where we'll be. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Almost kind of the same verse that we just read back in Psalms chapter number 34. Keep our tongue from evil. Surround yourself with godly things. That will be a tremendous help to all of us and will help us immensely in controlling our tongue. In the book of James, go ahead and turn there again. Book of James chapter 3. As we read here this morning, we see what the tongue can do in verse number 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of all nature and is set on fire of hell. The whole body can be defiled by the tongue. It doesn't take much to defile it. I can bring forth and I did this in class a few weeks ago. We weren't even talking about this. But I brought forth a white napkin. Just picture it in your mind, since we don't have this for illustration. I brought forth a white napkin. It was completely white. There was nothing on it. It hadn't yet to be defiled by the use of somebody putting it to their mouth, dabbing the saliva or whatever was dripping from them. Had yet to be defiled. And that was a sign of purity. And then I brought in another piece, a white napkin, that just had a little red dot on this piece of napkin. That little red dot, you know what it did? It defiled the rest of that napkin. It made it impure. It defiled it. One little word that offends somebody can really hurt them. The tongue can defile the whole body. The tongue can defile the whole body. Man can tame every kind of beast, as it says, but the tongue he cannot. Let's read this, verse 7 through 8. It says, for every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of man, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Here's what's amazing about that. The tongue. We can command a dog to sit. We, probably most of us in here, have had a new puppy or another. And when you get a new puppy, the thing that you want to do is you want to train that puppy. Some of you will have puppies that will probably be outside dogs. They're just there for protection. You feed them, they protect you. Some have different dogs, and they call them house dogs or grandchildren or grand dogs. And they'll go through this process of trying to train a dog. And it's all done with the tongue. There are some hand signals that are involved, but a majority of it is through the tongue. So think about this. We can command a dog to sit. Has anybody ever done that? We say, hey, Rover, sit. Rover, sit. And the only reason why Rover's sitting, because he knows if he sits, he's going to get a treat. See, they're not dumb animals. They're pretty smart. And they're thinking, this all this guy wants me to do is sit for a treat. I'll do it. I mean, that's what we do growing up in our homes. Mom and dad just want us to sit for dinner. I'm going to eat. Yeah, I'll sit. So we can control a dog. We can tell them to sit, and they'll sit. I had a dog. I had a Rottweiler. We had one for 10 years. I love this dog. And one of the tricks that I taught it was this. I would put a dog treat down in front of him or her, and I would not allow her to eat it until I gave her the command. And I would do that to her on numerous occasions. And there are sometimes I would put it on the top of her nose. And I was cruel at times. And boy, I tortured that dog when it came to treats when she wanted that so bad. But anyway, there's one time that I put it down on the kitchen floor. And I said, "Zuka, don't touch." That was my dog's name. I got the name off Bazooka Joe. So Bubblegum, if you guys are all familiar with that. And I come up with weird names. I got Jalen's name from SportsCenter. So that's what happens. So one day I decided, I'm going to put this down there, and I put it down there. You know, a half hour went by, I forgot about what I did, and my dog's just saliva all over the place. Why? Because I was able to control her with my tongue. I was able to give her a command, and she obeyed that command until I told her to get it. Well, after that, she just didn't get one treat. She got two treats because I felt so bad. But we can control a dog. We can tell them to sit. We can tell them to stand. We can tell them to roll over. And we can even tell them to play dead. At the very sound of our voice. You see how powerful our tongue is? But the tongue is a different form of a beast that we can't control. The tongue, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 18. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." That's talking about the venom from the snake. That's how dangerous a tongue is. "Whoso mouth is full of cursings and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." So the mouth is full of cursings. I want you to get this. It's full of bitterness. And because of bitterness, they will act out on their bitterness, and they will cause bloodshed, as you see in verse number 15. And it concludes in verse number 17 through 18, that they will not know peace or have a fear of God. Their tongue is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whoso mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. There are three kinds of tongues that we need to consider about wanting to possess. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. We've talked about how damaging the tongue can be. We've talked about what it can do to people, how it can offend, how it can destroy. Now I'm going to close, and I want to give you three kinds of tongues that we need to possess in our life as we can continue to go down the path of walking with God. So in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 20, in verse number 21, it says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." So the first tongue that you and I should try to possess in our lives is this, and that is a just tongue. A just tongue. One that is seeking righteousness. One that is seeking God. One that is wanting to be pleasing to God. A just tongue. That is what we should seek in our lives. The second one will be found in the book of Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. And we'll read verse number 19 as well. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." So we see the damaging effects of a tongue, how it can throw out daggers, or it's like swords coming at you, as the Bible says here. But a goes on and says, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So the second thing that we need to consider when it comes to our tongue is one, this sounds weird, but one that will bring health. Oh, you mean our tongue can bring health? Well, think about it like this. If your words are encouraging to somebody, doesn't that make an individual happy? And usually happiness stirs into some type of laughter. And don't they say, laughter is like good medicine, doeth the bones well? They say if you laugh so many seconds a day, you're going to live that much longer. I don't understand why some of us aren't dead right now. We need to learn to laugh a little bit more. I don't care if you laugh at me or laugh at yourself, but man, lighten up a little bit. But anyway, our tongue can bring health. And then it goes on, it shows you that a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, I've said this here Wednesday night, I don't like it when people lie to me. I don't like it. It's a trust breaker. It truly is. So, one, have a just tongue. Have a tongue that will bring health. And two, let's go ahead and turn, or three, turn into your Bibles to the book of Proverbs 15 once again. And we're going to start in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 7. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The third tongue that we should possess in our life is that of a wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue. Or you can put this, a tongue that produces knowledge. A wholesome tongue or a tongue that produces knowledge. So let me close with this. Why should this be important to us? Because the very words that come out of our mouths should be different from the world. They should know us by our speech. They should know us on how we use our words, our verbiage. They should know us by our conversation that we love the Lord. You know that illustration I was using a little while ago about me being so uncomplaintive and negative about somebody else, and I was told to say, hey, name something positive. Because what was being said to me was saying, Chad, your conversation doesn't show that you love the Lord. So our conversation should be showing the world that we belong to Him. But unfortunately, we don't always have great conversations coming forth out of our mouth. We're all guilty of this. We all fall short. But I do know this. Even though we ourselves can't control the tongue, I do know somebody that can. So all that being said, here's the application for all this. Seek God. Have Him control the things that come forth out of your mouth. Because the last thing that we want to do is steer somebody away. That's not what we should be desiring in our life. So let's have a word of prayer. And in the next few moments, we're going to have some time of fellowship. And we're going to be able to practice our conversation with one another. See, you can't get done and go over to Julie and say, man, boy, Chad was stupid in this matter. No, you can't do that because that defeats the whole purpose. And then I'd have to teach this all again next week. So practice some good conversation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, I know we all struggle. We all struggle with the things that come out of our mouths. And so, God, I pray that we would seek your help in this matter as we continue to go forth into this world. We pray that our conversation would be edifying and glorifying to you. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.